Thank you for listening to Faith on the Field Show. Check out faithonthefieldshow.com for all our previous episodes and merchandise and see a list of all of our awesome sponsors. Please take a minute to download, subscribe, and review our show and tell us if you love it or however you feel about it. This episode is brought to you by Rick Santella, financial advisor at Morgan Stanley. Call Rick at 215-845-6018. Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University, Rob Motti, Doug Horton, and Pastor Kyle Horner. We have an exciting show coming up for you. We are so thrilled, truly honored, to have Pro Football Hall of Famer Tony Dungy join us on this episode. We talked to Tony, what was it, the day before the NFL season kicked off in Philly, yep. And we are going to have that interview shortly. Guys, how cool is it to have Tony Dungy?
He was first class, man. You know, and it wasn't just the interview. It was hanging with him afterwards, yeah. Him coming in, telling stories, asking questions. True class act. He's everything that everybody says he is.
Absolutely. Completely humble. I mean, he is who you perceive him to be. And for me, I was saying to him, I grew up in a coach's household.
Right.
And so, Tony's been kind of a hero figure for me for a long time. So to meet someone like that. And then, Doug, what you said is so true. Him spending time with us afterwards, after the interview, asking about personal questions, how are you doing, really bringing about that sense of care. And what we encountered wasn't a coach, wasn't a Hall of Famer. We encountered another brother in Christ who truly instantly just felt like that. So,
and when I told him, because he was aware of Thy Kingdom Come and what Carson Wentz has
really
done,
cool.
And when I said, well, that's Pastor Kyle, is Carson's pastor, he's like, oh. You know, he knew about everything that Carson's doing and has tremendous respect for him. Came here to Philly last year and did the interviews before leading up to the conference championship game. And it was just so neat to see Tony Dungy interact with him and everything else. For our Faith in the Field segment, guys, we're going to have special guest Todd Williams, Dr. Todd Williams, the president of Karen University and our program sponsor. Yeah. He'll be live in studio with us, so we look forward to chatting with Dr. Williams in a bit. But guys, no matter who you root for, right, in the NFL, one of the men that everyone loves is Tony Dungy, yeah. And everyone respects him. I've been around him, covered games he coached against the Eagles, but just getting that opportunity to talk to him was an incredible thing in September. And we're gonna share his faith journey and talk to him in a little bit. So today, guys, we're gonna talk about trades. We're gonna call this episode "Let's Make a Deal." In sports, teams often make trades, and when they do, they give up something. The NFL trade deadline is coming up. They give up something, players, draft picks, in order to get something that they consider more valuable in return. In life, though, we make deals all the time. We make trades, whether it's in business, professionally, or even in our personal dealings with other people at home, with our wives. How often are you saying, hey, honey, I'll do this, you do that. I'll wash the dishes, you do that. Or I'll do this, you do that. I'm always trading.
Are you washing the dishes?
I'll wash the dishes if she's going to give the kids a bath.
Oh,
like, I'm all for washing the dishes. You give them a bath, I'll sit with them. I'll read to them, you give them a bath. Whatever involves her, I'm always willing to make that trade. We trade with our kids all the time.
Yeah.
Hey, if pick up your toys and I'll do this or do that. And small things, it could be small things, it could be big things. We're always trying. You give up something to get something. But the toughest question often is, how much are we willing to give up to get what we want? Mm-hmm. And in this world, it tells us fame, it tells us money, it tells us glory is so valuable, that these are the things that we should be striving for. It's what we should give our all to try and achieve, to try and attain. And some people, they're willing to trade everything to get all of it. But how much are we really willing to give up to accumulate all of these worldly treasures? Our soul should be our most valuable possession. But are we willing to give that up in order to get what the world thinks we require or need? So Jesus tells us in Mark 8:36, and this is a favorite scripture of mine. I sign it so often when I'm doing a book signings. It's a favorite scripture of Coach Tony Dungy. Yeah. And what Jesus says in Mark 8:36, he says, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul. And I've allowed this verse, or I try really hard because I'm going to fail at times, but I've tried and have tried to allow this verse to guide my life. And what it's done, it's forced me to make these difficult decisions and pass up opportunities sometimes, ones that society values and tells me I should want because I'm really not willing to give up my soul to gain the whole world. It happened to us in Hollywood. I didn't want to give up my soul, man. And we could have had our own reality TV show, Remy and I. I didn't want to give up my soul. It happens a lot in radio, and it still happens in sports talk radio because I'm on all the time and every week. I can easily forfeit my soul and say controversial stuff that I don't necessarily believe just so people think I'm popular or people think I'm one of them or people can relate to me better because I'm saying things they want to hear or I could talk lustfully, right, about women on the radio because, hey, that's the cool jock guy thing to do on radio, right? It could be part of it. Yep. And sometimes it can be very challenging because people are listening and people are criticizing and the trolls come at you with full force. But because I aim to please God, not other people, I'm constantly having to check my intentions and make sure I don't sell out. And forfeiting my soul to gain the world, it's a deal. Like, I'm not willing to make that, but it's a fight. It's a battle constantly, every day, day in and day out. I got to fight it. I got to fight it to not forfeit my soul so I could gain all these things that the world tells me I need to gain. Pastor Kyle, this is you deal with athletes and you know a lot of people of influence. You are a man of influence. How difficult is it? This Bible verse, it puts it right there for us. How difficult is it?
It's a great question, Rob. And I think what we have to understand is that every decision is a value proposition. And so we're trying in every decision based out of what we perceive the value of that decision will bring us. So, you know, someone brings you a venti latte from Starbucks, you may be willing to pay $5 for it because that's an exchange you think you're getting value back for. But if someone said this is $500, you would have a much different decision-making process. And so the truth is our soul, what you just said, our mind, will, and emotions, that part of us that still needs to continue to be changed by Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit is always looking to bring value to itself because it wants to seem valuable. It wants to feel valuable. And so we make decisions because based out of that value, because in our society, we believe that society values certain things at $500 and certain things at $5. Mm-hmm. So we're willing to exchange time with our kids, you know, being present at home, time at church, being able to, for things that we perceive will bring our soul more value. Yeah. Because the truth is, down deep inside, although theologically we know that what God brings us is eternally valuable, we many times struggle to feel that value in light of how others perceive us. And we still struggle with this getting value from who God says we are mm-hmm. rather than who the world says that we are. Again, our theology says one thing, right? Come on, but our reality says something very different.
And it's okay to struggle. It's natural to struggle.
Absolutely.
Like I tell these stories and I relate these stories about me because I want people to know, like, I never want to stand here, sit here, or however you're viewing me or listening to me and try and come across as anyone who thinks he's better than anyone else. Because I'm the biggest fail. Like, I will fail at it daily.
Bro, I struggle with this every day. This concept of getting value from something other than my walk with God, other than who God says I am. You know, you have said, and our audience knows, I do get to be around amazing men.
Yes.
Both in the church world, in the business world, and then obviously in the professional field as well. And it constantly is a struggle for me. Not to drop their names, not to grow my influence and my value off of them being attached to my life, because I'll be honest, inside of me, I want that. Inside, I want to be better known. I want to be perceived at a higher standard. Why? Because, but that's not the godliness in me. That's the brokenness in me.
Wow. And so it's so impressive. And Doug, I Pastor Kyle's not going to say anything. Like, it's so impressive how you are able to be stick so strongly to your values there, because you'll never see a picture. You'll never see anything.
That's right.
If we didn't tell the audience, they wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Let me just say this for both you guys, because you're both being very humble at this point. And maybe your audience is sitting there and they don't really know you guys that well. But the struggle is an everyday struggle. You've given up, and Rob, things that you've told. Your heart is absolutely there to say, this will not benefit me. This is something that could be extremely successful. But in the end, it's not going to allow me to achieve my mission, my personal mission of serving Christ.
Paycheck and that money looks good sometimes,
but you've
right?
been offered a lot of money and a lot of notoriety to do some pretty awesome things that you've turned down multiple times.
Absolutely.
And Kyle, I mean, you've been a great example. And listen, for people that are out there listening, like, these guys do this on a daily basis. And it's been a learning experience for me to just see you guys be challenged with it. And Kyle, you know, Rob's absolutely right. You won't take a picture with a guy because you don't want to forfeit your relationship with them. But what people need to realize is, I always thought in the beginning, like, oh man, Kyle's just really humble and like, this is really great. But to be honest, saying, hey, it is a struggle and I want to do that. That's what people don't think.
It's a boundary.
Yeah.
And Doug, that's the power of this. I have to know me. I have to know where I struggle and where there are certain things that you could throw in front of me I could care less about, right? They're just like all of us. We all have different temptations in this that we would forfeit our soul for. For me, that sense of notoriety, that sense of wanting to be known, to build a bigger platform, and that's been inside of me from the time that I was small. It's how I was raised.
But you could so easily, right? He could so easily say, by me building a bigger platform, right, by gaining this notoriety through these guys, I can therefore now use it. That you could try and justify and say, I could use it for the kingdom
but it would destroy me. And that's what I'm talking about. So getting back to it, that's what it gets down to. It's not even to protect my relationship with the guys, although it does that, right? And I want to honor them. It's their story. It's their life. It's their platform. But it's more than that. I know, look, we're not designed for glory. We were only designed to reflect it. And every time, whatever we do not turn into praise will turn to pride. Whatever we do not turn to praise will turn to pride. When the enemy, Lucifer was in heaven, he was worshiping God, he was full on, right? And then he started to believe, man, the worship I'm giving God should be coming to me. Mm. And it caused pride to grow up and fall. I need to be aware of what will hijack my praise and actually cause me to fall into pride. And for me, those are those things. So that's why I have to set the boundary beforehand. You don't wait till your temptation comes. You set the boundary beforehand. And Rob, you did that, like when you were saying about going to it when you were in LA, when you've been on red carpets.
Yeah.
You have to set the boundary beforehand.
You have to know going in.
You have to know going in.
You have to know going in, because you're going to be faced with opportunities. And you know, I talk about some of these things, Hollywood related or sports radio related or media related. And we're talking about you and some big time athletes in the area, in the city. But it doesn't apply to just people in the spotlight, right? Because you can forfeit your soul for worldly gain in TV, and you could do it in media, and you could do it in other platforms, but also away from that, away from the spotlight. Like, for example, you could be a guy who wants to impress his buddies. And you go out and you do something that, you know, you're forfeiting your soul because you're drinking when you really don't want to because you want to be one of the guys, right? Or maybe you smoke something that you don't want. Like, you could be one of trying to impress other people and forfeiting your soul. You could be a salesperson who's lying, cheating, manipulating to try and get commission. There's so many ways we can forfeit our soul. It doesn't have to be within the boundaries or within the spotlight platform. But I want to ask you, Doug, has there been a time that stands out for you where you've been challenged in that way, whether it was in college, whether it's recently, and how did you respond?
Yeah, you know, I go back to when I was in college, because I was involved in a lot of different activities, playing baseball. I was a student athletic trainer. I was in different clubs, just multitasking, doing a lot of different things. And when I reflect back on that, I realize that I was a different person to each one of those groups. And so as I mentor my kids, as I mentor my college students, that's something that I want to encourage them with. Say, I compromised a lot of those deals that were out there, and I was willing to take a deal. Whoever's willing to give me a deal, I was willing to take it. Yeah. And I was willing, and that was me being a believer when I was very young, and knowing the difference between right and wrong. But at that time, I was compromising my beliefs. And I don't know that I knew ahead of time what I was getting myself into. But as I reflect back on that, I was a different person to every group that I was in.
Yeah.
It's so easy for us to fall into being a different guy. Like I'll see old friends who think I'm a different person, and you're different. You're not the guy you used to be. And their expectation, right, is that I'm going to be the same guy they knew 10 years ago, right? The same guy I knew 12 years ago. And I've heard it from people in the media industry, like, you're different. There's something different about you. Sometimes, like, it could be said as a negative. And I'm like, I'm okay with that. Like, I don't mind being different. If you don't like me because I'm different, I'm okay with that.
But that's a good thing, because you actually had a transformative period in your life where you actually gave your life to Christ and you became a disciple of Christ, right? But how many people that are listening out there is one person on Sunday, and then they go to work and they're with a different group of non-believers on Monday? But
and Doug, that's
or at home.
We need to recognize that these decisions come out of unresolved pain that's in our life, that we are still trying to soothe pain in our life, whether that's the pain of that comes from insecurity or any sort of lack in our life. We will always jeopardize our testimony to cover and soothe over the pain that we have if we don't actually bring that pain under the power of Jesus.
There is a reality out there, though, that for a guy that is a believer that wants to tell other people about Christ, feeling the pressure, knowing that my boss isn't a believer, that people will not give me any deals, and it's a matter of me trying to provide for my family, where the pressure is real. It's not a matter of just making that decision.
It's absolutely
where
real.
May lose their, and that's where the faith comes in.
Humble yourself before. We were just learning to talk about this. Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up. We are not responsible for our own success and elevation. And when we believe that we are responsible for that, the onus is on the wrong shoulders. And you know, that's where look, prayer is an exchange of burdens. And that's where in these moments we have to, right? So I say, God, I don't understand how this is going to happen. But I believe, look, if God could change Pharaoh's heart, He can change my boss's heart. If God can get Daniel out of the fiery furnace, He can get me out of this bad situation. And this is where faith is put into action. Faith, we've talked about this a thousand times. Faith only exists in the uncomfortable. It doesn't exist in the comfortable.
Right.
So, you know, that's when we have to, we apply faith in these kind of moments.
Take that to work.
I talked about Mark 8:36. I want to take a look at the context of this entire scripture from Mark 8:34 to 38. And it says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. And then it goes into, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when He comes in His Father's glory with the holy angels. Jesus calls on us, guys, to deny ourselves and to take up His cross. Pastor Kyle, what does that mean to people listening to this show?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, when Jesus talked about denying ourselves, we have to recognize what we've been talking about is true. There's a natural self inside of all of us. There's what the Bible calls the flesh, the sinful man that's inside of us. And it has its own desires. It is motivated by its own goals, its own sense of values. And it is really, when Jesus talks about denying yourself, it's actually submitting yourself. He's actually saying, come and submit yourself. It's not that we can't have dreams, or it's not that we can't have hopes. It's not, because that's not what that's about. It's submitting yourself under the Lordship of Jesus. So when you submit yourself, you know, we've heard this verse a lot of times when it comes to wives, submit to your husbands, right? Submit to one another, the Bible says. But what submission is coming
often
under.
Often taken out of context.
Yeah,
as
always,
well.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. It's about coming under something to actually elevate something else. And so what Jesus is saying here is, are you willing to come under what God has for your life? Are you willing to come under what the kingdom of God is all about? Are you willing to come under what Jesus is, what Jesus wants to do in the bigger picture? And are you willing to serve that goal and understand that God has all things worked out for my good, right? Mm-hmm. God's bringing things together for my good. God is a God who's going to bring provision. God's the God that's going to bring increase. Jesus said, when you live for my kingdom, they'll be returned 30, 60, 100 fold, right? Wow. There are promises that come when we actually live that way. And then when we see Jesus, our great example, do this in the garden, when he actually says, not my will, but your will be done. And all of us as believers are living in the benefit of that, because what that brought was the cross and the resurrection. There's no hope without that.
He didn't want to take that.
Yes,
he's feeling that. I don't want to do this. I don't want to take that cross, but your will be done.
And that's denying flesh. That's why I'll throw back some of your past tradition. The truth is there's really value in praying the Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. Over and over again, in the sense of a daily expression, not as a rote tradition of religion, but as an expression of God's heartbeat. Because every day when you have to say, not my will, but your will, not my
it's
will,
a good reminder.
But your, I need to be reminded.
So the times I had to say it like 150 times, you got to recite.
Well, hopefully the word got in there and it won't come back void.
At some point. Jesus also appeals to us to lose our life for his sake and the gospel in order to save it. And lastly, Jesus makes it clear he does not want us to be ashamed of him in his words. Deny me before man, and I'll deny you before my Father. It's just so powerful. Being embarrassed to say we're Christians is ultimately a blatant forfeiture of our soul. When we come back, we're going to hear from Hall of Fame coach Tony Dungy. This is Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University. Faith on a Field Show, presented by Carey University. Rob, Doug, and Pastor Kyle Horner. Tony Dungy played quarterback at the University of Minnesota. He went undrafted and signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers as a safety in 1977. He led the team in interceptions when they won a Super Bowl in 1978. He eventually became a D-backs coach, a defensive coordinator, and then a head coach, first in Tampa and then with the Indianapolis Colts. He led the Colts to 8 straight seasons in the playoffs, won a Super Bowl title with Peyton Manning. He was recently inducted into the Buccaneers Ring of Honor. He's in the Colts Ring of Honor. He got his gold jacket in Canton a couple of years ago. Coach Dungy spoke to us on the eve of the NFL season, and here is that interview.
Coach, Mark 8:36 is a Bible verse that has guided my life and helped me make so many important decisions. I know it is a verse that you live by. Can you tell everyone what it means to you?
Well, my mother kind of drilled that into me when I was a young child, and it's, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world but forfeit his soul? And that was her favorite verse, and she always talked to us about it. Then when I got to the National Football League, and for 31 years, I saw that play out.
Yeah,
guys get everything that you can imagine in this life, notoriety, money, Super Bowl rings, all of that, and have a very forfeited soul. And you see it, and it's not a good thing. It's not a pretty sight. And so I think as I lived and got older, it became more meaningful to me because I actually saw what that verse is talking about.
When you see those challenges for the guys and throughout your career as a player, as a coach, and now in the industry of media, when you see those challenges, how do you go about giving guys advice and try and just guide them to keep walking the right path?
You try to talk to them about looking at what they don't see, because it's very easy to fall in that trap, especially you come into the National Football League. I see fans cheering me. I see a big contract. I see just life seeming so good. And it's really, you're being fooled. Hey, this is what it's all about. So if I play better, if I work harder, if I just get better at my job, if we win more, everything's going to be great. And before they know it, you're doing all those things, but life isn't great because you don't have it inside. You don't have that connection with the Lord. Things start to happen, and all of a sudden it's, What happened to me? Gosh, I thought everything was just perfect. And that's what you try to guard against. So in talking to guys, it's like, hey, do you understand your football career is going to be over at some point. Your life is going to be over at some point. And then what? And trying to get a young person, 20, 21, to think about that is hard.
But that's beyond the moment. Yeah. Coach, we're never designed to receive glory. We're designed really to reflect it back on the God. So you have been in a position where you've received lots of glory. And in this profession, we know glory is heaped in every turn. How do you help young men handle that?
You really have to be careful because it does happen and it feels good and you kind of think, well, I'm serving the Lord, I'm honoring the Lord, so people are complimenting me. That's good for him. But you have to be careful because Satan will use that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty soon you're starting to think, oh, this is pretty nice, and people do think this is me. Yeah, I am all of this.
Yes.
And you really have to understand that no, we're not. We're just there to serve the Lord, and that's got to be our number one purpose. Fortunately for me, my wife helps me in that regard.
Yeah.
But you need that, and you need people alongside of you to say, hey, wait a minute, are you sure now you're doing the right things? Are we definitely in control of your life? And who's in control? Is that God or is that you? And that's the thing that I'd always come back to. Am I letting the Lord control my actions, my attitude, my thoughts, or am I trying to take over?
With the platform that you have, to be able to, there was a lot of talk about having the Bible, your Bible, be put into the Hall of Fame. To use the platform, the audience out there, to be able to talk to them about Christ, even if it's subtle, even if it's a little way, how important is that for you to be bold in your faith, yet also maintain what you're supposed to be doing at NBC right now?
That's been huge for me in my entire life, and that happened when I was 21 years old. I had come up in a Christian home. I knew what it was to serve the Lord, but I was so focused in high school and college on my career and just developing that I got that one track mind. But I got to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and there were some guys who kind of showed me, hey, this is great, but if you're not doing it for the Lord, it's not going to be meaningful. And so at that point, studying under these guys, being mentored by these guys, I now became a Christian athlete. Before that, I was an athlete who happened to be a Christian.
Yeah, come on.
And once I got kind of helped along by these guys, I understood, no, it's Christian first.
Yes.
So I was a Christian player, and then I became a Christian coach, and now I'm a Christian broadcaster. But Christ has to be first in what I do, and that's how I have to describe myself. So with that in mind, I said, you know, I had some opportunities, I had some platforms when I was a player. Those platforms changed when I became a coach and I could talk to more people and talk to more young men. Now that I'm a broadcaster, how can I still let my light shine and do it for Christ and have everybody know that that's what I'm all about first? And so that Hall of Fame experience was great for me to be able to say, hey, you want to put some artifacts in my locker, and this is what people are going to see. Well, here's my Super Bowl outfit, and here's my hat, here's my whistle. But what was really important to me and what I went to every day was this Bible to direct me on how to lead these guys. And if you want people to come through the Hall of Fame and say, well, what do I need to know about Tony Dungy? That was it.
It is really learning how to steward that platform, isn't it? Because, you know, the Bible says if you humble yourself before the Lord, he will exalt you. But then when he lifts you up, how do we handle that platform? Yeah. How do we utilize, bring Christ into our marketplace? It's something that we've talked about.
And that's a tough subject because people who aren't ready to hear it, how can I get it across to them in a way that they'll receive it?
Absolutely.
It's not just me saying, hey, I'm a Christian and you need to know this, but how can I say it in a way that'll make you think, hey, I need to investigate that?
Being a little more incarnational, isn't it? Just kind of living Jesus out in your marketplace and bringing the love of Jesus into that place.
Amen.
Yeah.
When you see a team like the Philadelphia Eagles last year, and I wrote a book about it, and you were so kind enough to give me a very nice endorsement, and I thank you for that. I'll thank you for that on the air as well. When you see a team like that of young men who are so intentional about using the platform that the Lord has given them, and they've got a lot of people in their life helping them along the way,
absolutely,
especially Pastor Kyle, too. When you see that, how encouraging is it, especially in this day and age?
It was great to see. And the encouraging thing was you could see it. When I came up here to report on the team, you said, hey, there's something special about these guys. I don't know what it is, but this is a unit. These guys are tight. Mm-hmm. And then the more you talk to them, you see what, there's some guys serving the Lord that are the leaders here, and they've got this, all the things that Christ talks about, the togetherness and the unity and the common purpose, they've got it. And it's not just in a football sense. They've got it from something bigger. And so it was great to see. And then you say, not only do they have it, but they're telling people what it is.
Absolutely.
And that was the difference. That was what I was so proud of these guys. And they made a difference. I got to come to the game. NBC covered the Super Bowl, so I got to bring my son. We went in the locker room, and I got to introduce him to some of these guys and said, hey, you saw them out on the field, and they won, and they're on top of the world. But just look at what they're doing. They're praying. They're thanking the Lord for the opportunity to represent him. And that's what it's all about. Just to be able to show him that was unbelievable.
You mentioned your son. You mentioned your wife a few minutes ago. Being the son of a coach, I know that sometimes, coaching is really tough on family dynamic, isn't it? So, Coach, how did you help navigate that? How did your faith help navigate that, especially in difficult times in family?
Yeah. Understanding that your coaching is your profession.
Yes.
And I was very blessed. I played for Chuck Knoll in Pittsburgh. And the first thing he told us, my first introduction to professional football, Coach Knoll stood up in the team meeting. He said, football is your profession. You're getting paid for it. But don't make football your life. If you make football your life, you're going to be disappointed.
Wow.
And I'm writing that down as a rookie player and saying, wow, that's important. Then he lived it out and showed us that for 10 years that I was with him. And so now when I strike out on my own, that was my message to my players. Don't make football your life. You have to have a sense of purpose. You have to family, important community, what we're going to do. All of that's much more important than just winning games.
Yep.
And you try to get that across. But I saw Coach Knoll do it and live it out in a way, and we still won, and we're successful. So I wanted to try to do that. When I can remember when I got to Tampa and told that to the guys, said, hey, we're going to have family days. We're going to have Saturdays where you bring your kids to practice. All of this was like foreign to them.
Yeah. It's huge, right? So it's foreign, yeah.
Coach Peterson last year let the guys on a day of the game. Christmas Day, they played
Christmas Day,
at
exactly.
night. He let the guys go home. And I wanted to ask you about coaches are sometimes thought of, to be successful as a coach, you have to be this rah-rah type guy. You have to be extremely emotional, maybe over the top, and sometimes colorful language comes out, things of that nature, right? How were you able to always maintain your testimony, be successful, win a Super Bowl, and always coach, yet have Christ-centered within your life?
That was really my motivation, and Coach Peterson's the same way. I wanted to show people you could be successful doing it that way. And it took a while because I interviewed for jobs and would explain that to the owner or the general manager. Here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to honor these guys. We're going to develop this relationship, and it's going to be back and forth, give and take, but it's going to be based on love and respect. Oh, that'll never work. Impossible.
Yep.
And I remember when Doug got here and people saying, this guy's not qualified. And coming in here last year into a man, the players saying, hey, Doug Peterson's the reason why we're here. And then you watch them interact. And it's not the dictatorial, hey, I'm in charge, you guys do what I say. Everybody knew who was in charge. But the way he did it was so embracing, and guys wanted to follow because they believed in him and they believed in the plan and the message. That's what the world needs to see more of.
That goes back to not forfeiting your soul right there. You refused to forfeit your soul.
Yeah.
Even if it cost you a coaching opportunity in one place or another, you ended up. I want to ask you about not only did I put out a book, you and your wife this past summer had a couple children's books. Tell us a little bit about them, the titles, and where people can get those, and the message behind both of them.
Yeah, my wife, when I was coaching, the wives used to read in elementary schools. That was their way of kind of giving back. So my wife, Lauren, said, you know, we read a lot of books, but there's not a lot with good messages that we can talk to kids about that are instructional and that you know, we feel good about reading. So let's do some things. They don't have to be overtly Christian, but they're going to have Christian messages, integrity, right, honesty, mm-hmm. working together, being a good teammate, being a good friend, that kids can read and parents can discuss with their wives. So we just started a series with Harvest House. They've been awesome to work with. Our first two came out this summer. Austin Plays Fair is about a young boy on a flag football team. They're not winning, and one of the players says, we can tie our flags up a little differently, we can cheat a little bit, and it'll help us win.
That's a great show topic.
Austin, yeah, Austin has to decide, yeah, exactly. Do we try to win, or is playing fair more important? Maria Finds Courage is the second book. She's a girl who moves into a new neighborhood, and she's going to join the soccer team, but she's afraid because she won't know anybody. Will the kids accept her? Wow. And so it's all about, hey, not only stepping out of your comfort zone, but the other players on the team. Here's a new person. How do we make them feel? How do we receive them? And we just hope that these are things that parents can read to their kids, and the kid might say, yeah, I go through that. I feel a little left out. Or we've got a new kid, and we didn't really reach out to
them. Absolutely. Yeah, it's awesome. Kids go through it all the time. How do I find my worth? How do I find my place? How do I feel accepted, and how do I accept others in the midst of this crazy world? So thank you for doing that, Chris. It's really important.
And people can get those books, Amazon.
Any place. They're in the local bookstores now. TeamDungy.com is okay. The website that'll tell you where they are. And it's been awesome for us. We're really excited. And it gives us a chance to share our faith in a way with young people.
How about that? It's TeamDungy.com. He's a Hall of Famer.
I know, right?
He could have put HOF. He could have said anything like that.
Right.
TeamDungy.com. Hall of Famer, Coach Tony Dungy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
It's been awesome to be with you.
It's been awesome to cover this team and see them using their platform for the Lord. It's just been amazing.
That was Coach Tony Dungy. So insightful, powerful interview. He said he would tell guys to look at what you don't see and don't be fooled by the fame, the glory, because an NFL career is short. Life is short. And then what? And then what? Pastor Kyle, how do we apply that advice to our lives?
Yeah, that's beautiful. You know, Jesus said about seek first the kingdom of God, and then everything else will be added unto you. And that's really, Doug, you said earlier about priorities, making sure that we prioritize our relationship with God above everything else and find it in everything. We had talked just a little bit ago about, if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. And I just wanted to really encourage our audience today that, look, the truth is all of us, or probably many of us, have done that either vocally or non-vocally at many times. And I don't ever want anyone to think that that's a one-time moment. You know, in John 21, Peter had denied Jesus, right? He openly, here's someone who walked with him, who was his disciple, one of his best friends, denied him openly, and was really struggling with that decision. Yeah. And Jesus in John 21 shows up and never mentions it to him. He's basically just comes and says, Peter, I've got a question for you. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Because if you love me, we can move forward. If you don't, if you're going to live in the shame, if you're going to live in the guilt of that, if you're going to live in the brokenness of that, my love is still there for you, but you're not going to be able to actualize it in your life, because love sets me free. And the Bible says love covers over a multitude of sin, including those mess ups that we've had, Rob, one way or the other.
And he denied him how many times?
Yeah, three times. How many times does he ask him about love?
Three times he denied him. Yep. And how many times did he keep going back?
Yeah, three times.
And keep
Absolutely.
Going back. Yep. And that is such a cool, powerful, powerful story, because we're all going to do it at some point, maybe once, twice, three, four, five, six times. Yeah. It doesn't mean that's it. That's the end for us. And we can always, always, always find our way back to the Lord. When we come back, we're going to hear from Dr. Todd Williams, the president of Karen University. This is Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. We're back on Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle Horner, and with us now for our Faith in the Field segment is Dr. Todd Williams, the president of Karen University. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Williams, and thank you to Karen for being such a huge part of this show.
Oh, no, thanks for having me. We're really glad to be a part of it.
Dr. Williams, let's start off with telling us about your background and how you came to be the president at Karen in 2008.
Sure. So we did just finish 10 years as president, and it is my alma mater, although I don't think anybody would have thought when I was a student that I would end up being president one day.
most likely not to be president.
I don't know about that, but pretty close. Yeah. So I graduated from Cairn and then went on to do my graduate work at Temple University and worked there for a little while, and then was invited back to join the faculty in 1994. And then I served there on the faculty and then eventually as undergraduate dean for a few years. And I left in 2001 and went to the Washington, D.C. area to be the headmaster of Christian school there, and came back in 2005 to serve as president until my predecessor, Dr. Cheryl Babb, retired in 2008, and I assumed the presidency. And it's been a great run. We've had a great run.
10 years and going strong. He's in double digits. Your university's mission statement, Dr. Williams says, Cairn University exists to educate students to serve Christ in the church, society, and the world as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Why is this so important, especially in the world we live in now?
Well, the mission statement is a big part of what we do at Cairn. It's the lifeblood of the place. It's not just on the walls. It actually informs everything that we do. It drives all our decision making. It's the thing against which we measure ourselves every day. And I actually think that it's a very timely mission statement, but also very timeless. I mean, it is the Christian's calling to serve Christ in whatever you do. Yeah. And we need that desperately right now. We need people of faith and character to be serving Jesus in every corner of society, in every part of the world. And we take that very seriously. And it's about being more than just having Bible knowledge. Biblically minded is that you're thinking biblically about the changing issues of your day.
Absolutely.
And well-educated, that we know the world in which we live, and professionally competent, that we have the skills and competencies to allow us to function in a changing marketplace. And so we think that the mission statement really positions us well, not just for where we are or where we've been, but where we're going.
Active faith, right?
It's we really talk
about
good.
That
Absolutely,
all the time.
Yeah.
Moving people towards active faith.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Doug, you've been facing, you've been helping young men and women in this generation for a long time now.
Yeah.
How do you see some of the greatest challenges that are facing this generation in moving the gospel and the kingdom of God forward in the generations to come?
Yeah, I think there's some real issues that I'm actually encouraged. You know, I think people look at the current generation or the state of the world and get discouraged. And I think that there's reason to be hopeful. I think these kids want to live their life with purpose and for a purpose.
Absolutely.
They really want to make a difference. And I think that helping them sort of wake up, many of them who've grown up in the church and Christian schools may have fallen asleep under the preaching of the gospel. I think waking them up to the reality of how much Jesus has changed their lives and can change other lives, and then enabling them to go out and be his servants is really key. And helping them learn to think through the changing issues of the day, to not memorize answers
Absolutely.
To old questions,
yes.
but how will they be able to answer the issues of
yeah,
the day?
How do you process the information
in
into a changing
In a loving,
society.
Gracious
absolutely
way that's
right.
full of
yeah,
conviction.
With mercy
that's
go,
really
absolutely.
It.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Are there challenges, big challenges, any kind of tough challenges that you see in that?
I think so. I think one... not just young people. I think we often think it's generational. It's really cultural. There's so
Absolutely.
Many distractions that sort of cause us to look to the right or the left.
Yes.
There's so many things that vie for our attention and our affection. And I think those are the challenges. I think we're so bombarded now with so many things that are vying for our attention and affections that actually calling people back to focus on the thing that matters most. And I think that's one of the things that's great about what you guys are doing and calling attention to role models who have set their eyes on
Yes.
Jesus, regardless of what they've set their hands to do. That's really important that the culture sees people of faith in every walk of life doing their best.
Absolutely.
I think that's the issue.
That sounds like a great t-shirt or a bumper sticker. Set your minds and hearts to Jesus no matter what you set your hands to.
Exactly.
That should be our next Faith on a Field Show t-shirt. Dr. Williams, in your inaugural address, you said the university has stood firm but has never stood still.
Yeah.
What was the significance of that statement, and how have you continued to apply that over the 10 years?
In 2008, what I was trying to do for the audience that was there and for our entire community was to help them think about the history of the university in a way that understood that things were going to have to change going forward. I mean, our institution has been around since 1913. We're 105 years old.
Wow.
We started in a very modest way in the city of Philadelphia, training lay leaders, one room, four or five students. Eventually, two schools, two Bible institutes in Philadelphia merged into one, became Philadelphia College of Bible. But the school has undergone a lot of change to offer a widening array of professional programs and degree programs, NCAA Division III athletics, the performing arts, the visual arts, all kinds of stuff to give students a robust university experience that prepares them to go into any part of the world in all different vocations. And everybody needed to understand that from the very beginning, when the school was founded, it was standing firmly on the centrality of Jesus Christ and the Word of God, but had been changing almost from the moment it was founded.
Yes.
And that's really it. Hold firm in the things that should be held firm. Change those things that need to change.
Absolutely.
Stand firm, but don't stand still. That's the way we live the Christian life.
Absolutely. How do we continue to be culturally relevant and yet spiritually significant?
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
You did a series last fall called Whom Do You Seek? And in the conclusion, you talked about Mary seeking Jesus at the grave, seeking him in the wrong place at the wrong time, and how we should all be seeking Jesus, the risen one. That's a powerful, powerful statement. Can you explain that?
Well, I think too often we're guilty of being like Mary. We're looking for the living among the dead.
Yeah.
And I think that we forget too often that Christianity is a faith of new beginnings.
Yes.
In the morning on the third day, Jesus rises again. You know, you have sort of mercies are new every morning, new wine in new wineskins. Christianity is a faith of new beginnings. And what Jesus is actually saying there is, don't look for me among the dead. Look for me among the living, because I intend to transform lives. I'm going to change lives. And people are going to be changed forever, for all eternity. And I think that it's significant that Jesus wants to be sought where he can be found. He is a living God, and he has made us his servants in this world.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, Doc, in the midst of all of the world today and social injustice, and we see all sorts of expressions of people who are standing up for social injustice, how do you help your young people? How do you help this generation? And I agree, it's cultural, by the way. It's not just generational, it's cultural. How do you continue to build that into people?
Yeah, I think what you have to do is keep in front of them the things that are important, right? So for us, when we talk about issues of social justice, or we talk about the arts, or we talk about anything else, it's not because we're trying to prove we're better human beings.
Yes.
It's not because we're trying to prove we're politically correct or we're sophisticated as everybody else. The issue is, we see all human beings as made in the image and likeness of God.
Yes.
We see them all as objects of God's love. We see them all as within the reach of a transformational relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we live accordingly. So we should care about the issues that Jesus cares about. And we should remember that the first and foremost need of everybody is the gospel. I mean, at the end of the day, that's
absolutely
the thing they need. And so we have to reach out to them with love and grace and compassion and mercy, with the firm conviction that Jesus has given us the way, the truth, the life, himself.
Yep.
And I think that that's important. And you keep those issues in front of students so they're constantly thinking about who they are in the world that God created, working with human beings made in his image and likeness as his ambassadors and servants.
Yeah, how can we become incarnational in regardless where we are vocationally?
Yeah, that's
we can
it.
Be incarnational.
That's really it.
Absolutely.
That's really it.
What are some of the programs, some of the ministries, some of the things that they do at Karen University that maybe stand out to you that give students a unique experience?
So we've been hard at it for the last decade or so, adding new academic programs on a fairly regular basis. And every student in all of our programs has 30 plus, 10 or more classes in biblical and theological studies.
Wow.
We want their biblical worldview to be really well-developed and well-formed. But we have professional programs that range from pre-law and English and history to social work, pre-med. We've got music programs, education programs, you name it, we've got the program. We just launched computer science, criminal justice, graphic design, all kinds of professional programs, all centered on the person and work of Jesus Christ and the authoritative Word of God. But those students also carry out ministry obligations. They're practicing what they learn. There's a service orientation at our institution that's really key. You have to practice like you play, to borrow an
athletic example. Yes, exactly right.
And so you have to practice like you play. And so we expect them not to see their time in college as a parenthesis, but as an opportunity to live their lives now as students, fulfilling the student's calling as the servants of Christ. And all of their professional education, their general education, their biblical education fits together in a very practical way. They get opportunities to serve and to practice. And for instance, we talk about athletics. It's not just what happens with a student athlete at Karen in the NCAA Division III programs that we have. It's that they enrich our life together.
Yes.
They enrich the life of the community.
It's part of community life.
It's part of community life.
That's
the same
right.
thing with the arts. And so that kind of intentional Christian community is one of the things that sets us apart. And it's because all the students are contributing with their own gifts and abilities and skills, whatever it might be, from the athletics to the arts to student government, all of those things fitting together to create a very energetic and dynamic, intentional Christian community.
You had mentioned a biblical worldview, which I love.
Right.
How essential is creating a global worldview from a kingdom worldview?
Yeah, well, that's absolutely right. So when we say church, society, and the world, we don't mean some students for the church, some for society, and some for the world. We mean every student has a place in the church as the body of Christ. Every student is to be a good neighbor and seek the welfare of the city in which they live. And every student, regardless of their program, has to care about what God's doing in the wider world. Yeah. That's part of the mission. And it's not one of those three. It's all of those three.
Love that.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's outstanding. Thank you so much, Dr. Todd Williams, president of Cairn University, for joining us on our Faith in the Field segment on Faith on the Field show. Now, Doug, let everyone know where they can follow us and how they can catch up to all of our previous episodes and everything else we have going on.
Rob, you get all the information you need from faithinthefieldshow.com. We got a new page that actually takes your email. You enter that in. You'll be getting our monthly email blasts. All our episodes are on there. And you can also get all our merchandise. If you want a signed copy of Birds of Prey, besides going to one of our book signings, Rob, you'll sign that, and we'll mail it out to everybody. So it's a great gift for anybody in your family or anybody that you just want to witness to. And also get your Faith in the Field t-shirts. We have some great merchandise just to kind of support the show. All our social media, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, Faith in the Field. And you can always watch us through YouTube on FISM.TV.
Yeah, and I know Cairn University and Dr. Todd was saying that they have a new capital campaign that's coming out for really some sports complex and to be able to really elevate their community.
Yeah, they're really moving forward. They're doing a great thing. So you could always go to cairn.edu, which is a great place.
Yeah.
Their forward campaign is really increasing community involvement, new athletic facility, lit athletic facility. So if you're in that Northeast Langhorne region, they're going to have outdoor athletic facilities where people can go to. Also increasing a ton of programs, that just a new initiative, and also for scholarships for students to come.
Could it be our new softball field?
Oh.
Is that something? Maybe we could start a league, have a, like, if it's for anyone to use. Right,
that's what they said. That's the goal.
Is and it's, that lit. It's lit. We could play night games, and maybe we could do a flag football tournament.
There's a lot of options.
We got our quarterback right here. I told you, the only guy I would not play quarter. I would take a back seat and sideline myself. I'd bench myself for you, Pascal.
just so I don't have to run, move, scramble.
They're doing a lot of really cool things. You know, I'm sure there'll be a lot more information from us, just as we support them and they support us. And we're really thankful that Dr. Williams came in today just to tell us more about that.
Yeah, it's awesome when we have faith on the field and faith in the field guests here or whoever it is that can come into our studio. And we have some exciting things happening in the future and in future shows down the road. We're going to try and bring in as many guests as we can. We're going to try and Skype some of them just so you could see them, so you're not looking at a screen sometimes, so you could actually get a chance to see their facial expressions and everything else. I want to say big thank you to Hall of Fame coach Tony Dungy, Dr. Todd Williams. Thank you to our incredible, incredible production staff, Kay, John, Darlene, Giuliano. Thank you to Dan Celia for giving us this FISM.TV platform. For Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.